come will come like a fire and burn me on the inside. And come will like an earthquake so I can shake all that's not a you.
Welcome to Sling Stones, a podcast with insights for the Christian journey. And now your host, Dr. Terry Wardle.
So I had this interesting thing happen in class the other night. I came with an assignment, and that was for all the students. And there were about 19 students there. They're all second-year master's students, all looking for either a Master of Arts in Practical Theology or a Master of Divinity degree. And so I asked them to spend a few moments and put together a sentence that best represented the word repentance. And I gave them probably 15 or 20 minutes to do that. And then they all read their sentence, and I put the ingredients of it up on a marker board so that we could look at it. It was a very interesting time because so much of what they wrote was driven by performance and behavior. One person who is a wonderful individual said that it's repentance is recognizing that I have failed to live up to the perfect standard of God and to modify my behavior accordingly. Other words that came in were words of guilt and shame, the willingness to admit failure, begging God to come and to receive us. To admit that we're not living lives according to what God desires. One individual talked about having bad fruit in our lives and begging God for forgiveness. Now, it isn't that these concepts are completely wrong. It's that their emphasis is more on human behavior than what Christ has done for us. And it seemed as if they were suggesting that we had within ourselves the power to change everything about us. As a matter of fact, one student talked about we've got to learn to manage sin better, to confess that we are unholy. Now, I want to share with you that that is really not the heart of what it means to repent. Repentance is related to the notion of identity. So let's begin there. When we accept Jesus and he accepts us into his heart, a transformation takes place deep inside of us. In that transformation, we are given the nature of Jesus. We are called God's children. We have the Holy Spirit within us to help us walk out what it means to be his children. And we are promised this amazing inheritance that is ours. And all of this comes because of Christ. What God wants us to do then, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is to live out of who we are now in Christ. So God is our Father, his heart is our home, and the Holy Spirit is there to set us apart. We are holy, holiness not based on our behavior, holiness based on what Jesus Christ did for us. And now, because Christ is rooted in our lives, we can then bear the fruit that lines up with being a follower of Jesus. You see, we are people who now are called the children of God. We get to eat at the table of the Lord. He sets this table before us. It's filled with all that we need to satisfy the deepest longings of our lives. And because of Christ, and only because of Christ, not because we've earned it, not because we're performing, we are able to feast at this table. That's what grace is all about. That's what freedom is all about. We don't get to the table of the Lord because we're so good or we're so perfect in our behavior. We go to the table of the Lord because of faith in what Jesus Christ has done. We share his nature by some supernatural transaction that occurred when we were born again. And now we have this opportunity to live out of who we truly are in Christ. And it takes a while. I mean, it takes a lifetime, I should say, for us to learn how to depend on the Holy Spirit, to turn to him, to help us to live according to Christ. And there are times in which we are lured away. Hear that? We are lured away from the things of God. And we begin to turn back to the world, turn back to the table of the world to try to kill pain, and to fulfill the longings of our lives. So that's where repentance comes to play. You see, repentance is returning home. You see, we stray. We begin to live in ways that aren't consistent with who we are in Jesus Christ. And repentance is a turning back. It's returning to the heart of God. It's the Holy Spirit helping us recognize this isn't living out of who we are in Christ. This is sin. This is brokenness. We haven't reached the prize. We've fallen short of what God wants. And now we go home again. It's not about trying in our own efforts to modify our behaviors to live up to the perfect standard of God. No, repentance is returning to what is true of us in Jesus Christ. Isn't that what happened in the story of the prodigal? The prodigal leaves home. He separates from fellowship with his father. He begins to live in ways that are contrary to who he was as his father's son. And then he came to a recognition that this was breaking his life, and he returned home. That's all he did. He returned home. And when he came home, his father said, "You are my son." He gave him authority. He honored him. He held a party because he had returned home. Home to the heart of the Father. That's, to me, the nature of repentance. Now, there was a man years ago. His name is Major Ian Thomas. He had fought in World War II. He became a dynamic Christian. He founded the Cape and Ray Institutes that are in many places around the globe. And he wrote a wonderful book called The Indwelling Life of Christ. And in that book, he defined repentance. And this is what he said. True repentance is not being sorry for something you have done. No. If you do something wrong, though, you should be sorry. But that's not real repentance. Real repentance is hilariously exciting. It is facing the facts of life, recognizing how God made you, how you were intended to function, and then being restored to that relationship of mutual interavailability that the Lord Jesus enjoyed between himself and the Father, a mutual interavailability in which you are prepared to let him be God. That is true repentance. I love that. That whole concept that repentance is hilariously exciting. It's the idea that when you come home, it lifts our hearts. It brings joy to us. At some level, repentance isn't measured by the degree of sorrow that we have. Though, like Major Ian Thomas said, there should be sorrow if there's an area of our life where we're not living in harmony with God. And we know we're not living in harmony with God. We can actually feel the disharmony. That means we're not home. Come on home. Home to who you are in Christ. Home to the wonder of being God's child. Home to feasting at the table of the Lord. Home to being at peace, that you are safe in his arms. That's the issue of identity. We are God's children. His nature is within us. The Holy Spirit empowers us to live out of who we really are. But there are many times, and I do it, I am lured away. I begin to live at the table of the world. I begin to do things that aren't part of who I am in Christ. And the Holy Spirit begins to open my eyes to that. And he welcomes me to come home. There's a game that many of you probably played. The game is hide and seek. And in the notion of hide and seek, someone is coming to find you. And if they see where you are and they run back to base and they tab you rather, then you're out. But if you can run to base and get to, we used to call it home, once you were there, you were safe. And I was asking my class if they'd ever played that. And of course, many of them said they had. And I asked, what was the feeling when you got to base? And they laughed and said, excited, safe, often laughing, knowing that I'm still in the game. Well, that's exactly the way it should feel when we begin to turn to God in repentance. Now, repentance is a huge issue. God wants us to be repenting because he knows that if we continue to live outside of who we are in Christ, it can hurt us. It can bring a certain degree of destruction. There are consequences, not only on our lives, but the lives of people around us. So the Holy Spirit does whisper into our hearts, and sometimes he actually shouts, "It's time for you to go home. What you're doing is not what God wanted. What you're doing is not part of the kingdom. By God's grace, come home." Now, here's the interesting thing about turning to come home. When we turn to come home and we think we're at a great distance from God and that now we have to work our way back, as soon as we turn to return, we find him right there. There's no running that we have to do. We don't have to strive to get back. Just turn. Maybe right now there's a place in your life that you hear the Holy Spirit whispering, "This is not the way I want you to be living. This is not living out of who you really are in Christ. You're eating at the table of the world when you should be feasting at the table of the Lord." And if you allow yourself to listen to that voice, all of a sudden there should be this desire, "I want to go home. I want to go home to who I am in Christ. I want to live out of who I am as God's beloved child." And then you turn, and there he is. You're already home. You know, I was asking the class about some definitions. What does it mean to go forward, to progress rather? And they said it means to go forward. What does it mean to regress? It means to go backwards. Well, what does it mean to transgress? Well, transgress means we've cut across. We've stepped off the path. So in a way, repentance is simply getting back on the path in order that you can progress with the Lord. Is there sorrow involved? At times there is, because in coming home, you've tasted what it's like to live outside of home. There should have been sorrow in the heart of the prodigal. He had tasted what it's like to eat pig's food and to waste his inheritance, and he came home. And when he did, he was able to taste again the wonder of what it means to live in the Father's presence. And that's what God's wanting us to understand, that when the Holy Spirit moves upon us, calling us home, it's not punitive. He's not saying that, you know, we have to do better at sin management or that suddenly we're unholy. What God is saying is, "You're going to hurt yourself living beyond my heart. Come on home to my heart. Come home to who you are as a child of God with all the riches and wonder that you are the poema of God." And God's arms are always wide open to receive you back. That's the miracle and the wonder of grace. He doesn't hold a paddle in his hands, threatening you as you start to turn home. I remember that when I was in grade school. We had this absolutely interesting and wonderful single lady who was seemed to be ancient when I was a child. And when we were on the playground and the bell would ring, we would look and she would be standing there at the door and she would have a paddle in her hand and she would be very gently marking it down upon her own hand. And that was notion that you better come in or you're going to get paddled. I don't believe that's the way the Father is. His hands are extended. His arms are open to us. I don't think he wants us to lay on the ground and to feel as though he's put his foot on our throat until we cry, "Uncle." And then he says, "Okay, you've heard enough. I can see that you're sorry enough. You have enough regret. You get to come back." No, even Paul says that in true repentance, there isn't regret. There's a new knowledge, there's a new understanding, there's a new openness, a new willingness. And that's what God wants of us as we begin to think about the notion of repentance, this returning home. My son Aaron pastors at a wonderful church in Boulder. If you are near Boulder, I would encourage you to go to this church. It's called Cornerstone of Boulder. It's a great church. The pastor is a rabbi. Great messianic flavor throughout the congregation, very evangelical, open to the movement of the Spirit. And my son was talking to me about a Hebrew word, the word teshuva. Great word, teshuva. And that teshuva is at the heart of repentance, and even in the meaning of that word, there is the notion of return. It's time to return. I had an individual come to my office a year or so ago, and they were hurting. They had wandered a long way from home. And they were sitting there feeling as though they had gone so far that they'd never be able to get back. And they were talking about the despair of their lives and the bondage that their own sinfulness has caused. And for whatever reason, I simply felt the Lord tell me to say these words to them. The Lord misses you. The Lord misses you. And as I said that, this individual began to weep deeply. And all of a sudden, all that rebellion and that pain and that wandering began to wash off. And the weeping was not the weeping of sorrow, as much as it was the weeping of the tenderness of God, that even in our wandering, He would miss us and say, come on home. I want you back. Listen, you are the child of God. That's who you are. That's been accomplished by Jesus Christ, and it is secure. You are your Father's child. Because you are your Father's child, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you to help you learn how to live out of who you now are in Christ, to progress in the freedom and wonder of what it means to be a Christian. And you also have an inheritance that begins now and will carry on throughout all eternity, the inheritance of spiritual gifts, the inheritance of the Spirit's presence, the inheritance of the power of God in your life. That's all of yours. But there are times when you probably have or are, I know I have and will, stray from home. The lures of the evil one that cause us to run after, thinking that it will improve our lives and that it will satisfy some longing or kill some pain, are brought across our path and we bite down. And yet, God opens His heart to us. And He reminds us that He's always welcoming His children home when they have strayed. Maybe right now in your life, you're aware that there's an area that there is absolute disharmony. This isn't what God wanted. You already know it's contrary to what God's spoken in His Word. God's arms are extended and He wants you to come home. That's repentance. And once you've repented, you get to realign your life so that He can teach you what it means to now live out of who you are in Christ. I think there's nothing more exciting than that. And so it is my prayer that all of us would recognize that repentance is not illustrated by us rolling on the ground, weeping in great sorrow. But as Major Ian Thomas said, it's hilariously exciting. The exciting invitation of God that says to you, I love you. I want you into my arms. You are my child. There's a place for you at the table always. Why don't you come home? That's the nature of repentance. Well, I hope you have a good day. May these words in some way touch your heart. And may all of us know that God's love is lavish upon His children. And as it says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, and that's who we are. God bless. I don't care what it costs. Let your kingdom come and your ways be done. I don't care what it takes. Let your glory fall down.